Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Oh, we're in the home stretch now, Tampa Bay. We're getting there. Five games to go. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all year long by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Good morning, a raspy Tom Lang here in the ESPN Tallahassee studios for two reasons. Number one, the pollen. Good gracious. With the pollen here in Tallahassee, it's stupid, really. I feel like a team mascot at some point in one of the major four sports should be the pollen, because I think everybody goes, oh, man, what a formidable foe, for different reasons. Some people have outright allergies that debilitate them. Some people get a raspy voice, as I do here. I sound like I've got some sort of hay fever. And the second reason I have a raspy voice is last night, here in Tallahassee, we watched some Sweet 16 basketball. The Florida State Seminoles end their season in unceremonious fashion in Anaheim, a loss to Gonzaga. They had some injuries, and they fought through. They got it down to four with just 4 minutes to go, and then, you know, they got blown out. So a lot of shouting at the television screen at a local event. It was okay. No carousing. Drove home myself, and there was no question about that. Kept it civil. But the pollen, man, is just ridiculous. So I appreciate you in advance bearing with me. You know who's got to bear with the Tampa Bay Lightning? That's the Boston Bruins, folks. Boy, did they think they had us in our building. 4-2 in the third period. A lot of fortunate bounces going Boston's way, including a goal that goes off the backboards and hits off Andre Vasilevsky and goes into the net. It just seemed like it was not going to be our night. And then it was, as so many nights this season have been. Out of the jaws of defeat, victory is snatched up, and it's held firm to the bosom of Tampa Bay. I don't know if that made sense, but I think you know what I was going for there. The Tampa Bay Lightning have now 59 wins with five games to play. The all-time record in the regular season is 62 wins. So if you win four out of your last five, you have won more games in the NHL's regular season than any other team in the sport's history. If you win just one more game, which I think we're likely to do, given, the percentages that we win three-quarters of our hockey games, you'll join elite company. Just a handful of teams that have ever won 60 games in the regular season. So the superlatives keep on coming. We're over 300 goals for the season, at 306 to be precise. No other team. I'm looking up and down the NHL. I see a 272. I see a 275 with Toronto. I guess no other team in the game of hockey has over 275 goals. We have 306. My goodness. Goal differential of an even 100. The next best goal differential in the game of hockey is Calgary at a plus 54. Our goal differential is a full 46 goals better than the next closest team in the sport. Nikita Kucherov's lead in the NHL points race is a little bit worse off than it was this time last week. Connor McDavid is hard charging his teammate Leon Draisaitl, also over the century mark. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have combined now for 215 points to take over the NHL's lead for top scoring duo. It's 1 point more than Kucherov's and Stamkos's 214. And McDavid and Draisaitl in Edmonton are the first Oiler teammates to both achieve 100-plus points in a season since, no, not Gretzky or Messier, Jari Kurri and a guy I never heard of in 1987-88. But Nikita's got 121 points on the season. Connor McDavid, 114. He's seven back with five games to play. So in the race for the Art Ross, Nikita still has a sizable lead, but it's shrinking. And I think if there were 10 games to go, I would handicap it that maybe McDavid would be the favorite to finish the season with more points. Then again, if you look at the competition Tampa Bay has faced between the last, two or three weeks and today, We've seen a lot of contenders, a lot of hungry teams, and we get a bit of a break next week as we go into a Canada victory tour of sorts as the season winds down. But our state, our point standings, 122 so far in the season, 122 points. The next closest team is in our division. That is the Boston Bruins. They are at 103. They did not pick up a point in Tampa Bay on Monday night, though, did they? No, they did not. Up 4-2 in the third, we rally back, and it's the Bolt Father himself. Once again, Tony C doing what he does. And in fact, I scared the living daylights out of my girlfriend because I was already loud once in that sequence because Tony C was wide open in the slot. He reminds me truly of a slot receiver. He's like a slot receiver in football. He just understands, or a good receiving tight end, because he understands where in the zone those types of players in football, where to find a hole in the zone, sit down, and give a big target to the quarterback to fire on a third and six. It's Hunter Renfrow at Clemson. It's Welker. It's Julian Edelman. It's all these guys, the good receiving tight ends, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez. They always understood where to find the holes in the zone, and Tony C did it once about 10 seconds before he actually gets the puck, and then once the Bolt Father gets it in the slot with a chance to put the game-winning marker on the board for the Tampa Bay Lightning with under a minute to go, what do you think he does? Yeah, that's right, he scores. Dave Mishkin goes nuts. It was all the rage on SiriusXM's NHL Network radio the next day, and the Tampa Bay Lightning do it again. And it was a really important win for this reason, and it's also going to bleed into tomorrow night's game against Washington. These two regular season games this week, the final two at home for Tampa Bay in an historic regular season. I hate the and historic, but I'll do it. These are games that are far enough away from the playoffs that both teams can air it out. Washington tomorrow is going to come in to Tampa Bay with something more to play for. That's seeding and a division title, home ice, all those things. But Tampa Bay's motivation, well, they don't have to do much of anything. There isn't a ton to play for the Bolts, other than a psychological edge or to work on things and keep your game sharp. But my opinion on this is that it's so far away from the playoffs. You got 10 days, about 10 days before we start playing a best of seven against our first round opponent, that you may as well air it out. You may as well put a great product on the ice, the home finale tomorrow against Washington or this past Monday against Boston. Go for it. Go for it. And that's what Monday was. It was everything but the extra edge that a playoff game provides. There weren't as many post-whistle scrums, but there was enough nastiness to go around in that game, plus the fact that you see a ton of skill on the ice going at it at fifth gear. 100% effort that we got a great product. Folks have been texting me over the last couple of weeks, both Capitals fans that I have, friends of mine. I can't believe I have Capitals fans that are friends, but that's okay. And Lightning fans who are good people, texting and saying, man, you know, the NHL is rooting for Washington-Tampa Bay round two in the Eastern Conference Finals, because how entertaining have these first two matchups between the two teams been? And it's true, whether it was the emotional 6-to-whatever victory we had at home in the black uniforms, or it was that game up there where Victor Hedman closes it out in overtime. I mean, those are knockdown dragouts, a lot of skill on the ice, a lot of grit, determination, and some great plays being made. Same thing on Monday with Boston. But I think between what we saw on Monday and tomorrow night, you're going to get two of the more entertaining regular season games you're going to see this year, because both teams, in this case, all three teams, Boston, Washington, and Tampa Bay, far enough out from the postseason that you can go after it. And certainly tomorrow night, Washington is trying to place their stake or claim their place at the top of the Metropolitan Division, where right now they have a 3-point lead. They have four games to go. The Islanders are in second at 97 points. Washington has an even 100. The Pittsburgh Penguins have 95 points, but they have a game in hand on both Washington and the Islanders. So this would be kind of a nail in the coffin for Washington if they could get this win tomorrow night at Amalie. So get ready for it. This is going to be awesome. And why do I put it that way? Well, Tampa Bay's closing game, our 82nd game of the season after the victory tour through Canada next week, is in Boston. And I don't believe in game 82 that Boston and Tampa are really going to go after it all that hard, given that you got a best of seven coming up that next week. Boston will be hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs, and of course will be playing a team to be determined. The wild card picture in the Eastern Conference looks like this. Wild card position one, the Carolina Hurricanes. They've lost two in a row. Inopportune time. They were trying to climb back into the race for one of the top three seeds in the Metro Division. Doesn't look like it now. They played an even amount of games as the Pittsburgh Penguins. Remember, they had two games in hand and a tiebreaker in terms of regulation overtime victories. That's gone by the wayside. The Penguins have 95 points through 77. The Hurricanes, 91 points through 77. So a lot of moving has to happen for the Hurricanes to climb back into that conversation. They're in wild card spot number one. In wild card spot number two, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have responded in a big way since the last time we spoke. Winners of three straight, Columbus now has 90 points through 77 games played. And if they catch Carolina, they would have a tiebreaker because the row category, regulation overtime wins, Columbus has 42 to Carolina's 40. On the outside looking in right now, Montreal, you can eliminate the rest of the teams. Philly is too far back. It's over. But Montreal, 78 games played. So they played one more game than Carolina and Columbus. They are sitting at 90 points. And the regulation overtime win category, the Rows, they're at 39. So Montreal needs some serious help before the season's out, and their schedule is pretty brutal. So it looks like Tampa Bay's first-round opponent is going to be either Carolina or Columbus. Keep an eye on those two teams before the end of the season. I've got some thoughts on how we fill out the lineup. Obviously, I haven't really talked about the injuries to Anton Stralman, Dan Girardi the last couple of weeks, assuming that things were going to go okay. But last week we heard that Dan Girardi is going to be out for a prolonged period of time, maybe the playoffs when he finally draws back in or is at least eligible to draw back into the lineup. Anton Stralman's injury is far less severe. He could draw back into the lineup himself tomorrow night against Washington. But then also, how about the forwards? Yanni Gourde's out for a couple of games. Ryan Callahan comes in. He immediately makes an impact. Got some thoughts on that. And that will be after this break. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Ah, yes, it's a somber day in Tallahassee, Florida. But that's all right. We're in love with the fact that the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, are on the horizon. It's victory tour week next week, Tampa Bay. And then the butterflies, they truly return. Somebody who's always there for you, though, I think you can guess it, Bill Curry Ford. That's right. All the easy deals are at BillCurryFord.com, where they have a true nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. All 2018 vehicles must go. Up to $10,000 off. Reach out to our good friend Sean Sullivan, general manager at Bill Curry Ford, or visit the aforementioned BillCurryFord.com right now. So Ryan Callahan draws into the lineup on Monday night. Yanni Gourde's two-game suspension, which I think is BS, touched on that in a bonus features podcast last week. Check out the RSS feed on, you know, Google Play, iTunes, whatever, if you want my thoughts there. But that means that Ryan Callahan draws in. He makes an immediate impact with a pass across the offensive zone to one Steven Stamkos, a one-time laser later, and Stamkos scores his first goal of the night against Boston. He would score two. He is now at the 40-goal plateau. All right, so I was dogging Ryan Callahan about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, because it was clear that he just wasn't one of our best 12 forwards. It was just abundantly clear that we'd be better off investing time in a Matthew Joseph, even letting a guy like Cedric Paquette play. And that's exactly what we did. We told him that unless there's an injury or somebody needs rest in a back-to-back, that Ryan Callahan was not going to be a part of our regular forward rotation. Well, here is your opportunity, number 24, one game down. One good result achieved. Ryan Callahan is a perfect playoff type player. And frankly, in the top six, we might need a little bit more diversity. It looks like Stamkos really likes playing with Ryan Callahan. This is a good time to give that a trial run. I don't think that the roster spots are assured for a guy like Matthew Joseph to play every game in a best of seven. Maybe Ryan Callahan is worth playing in at least a couple of the games in a best of seven. And here's your chance 24. There is no doubt, I said this a lot last year and in the beginning of this season, that Ryan Callahan was our best player in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against Washington. And while that's awesome for Ryan, that's really crappy that 86 or 91 was not. They're looking to make amends for that this year in the playoffs are our two superstars. But Callahan played his butt off in that series, and he nearly was the offensive firepower to will us to the Stanley Cup Finals. And so he's got something left in the tank, and I do think he's benefited from the rest he's gotten. A fresh Ryan Callahan may be able to do some damage for 12 to 15 minutes a night on the ice for Tampa moving forward. Let's see what this trial run looks like, and I know for a fact that this coaching staff would be looking for a reason to play a guy like that over a young pup, and maybe, just maybe, Callahan's going to get his crack at it this week. Of course, 4 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning this past week, and I usually do that at the outset. We grabbed two of them. We were assaulted. It was a blitzkrieg from the St. Louis Blues over the weekend. They get up big. We're chasing the whole game, hit a couple of posts, and we're unable to get the job done there. I'm not so worried about that game. I circled it. I know you guys know this, but from a couple weeks ago, I said, that you just look at motivations and the trip, and we're a little bit road-weary, playing a lot of games in a short period of time. That one just seemed all wrong for us. So we got back home on Monday night, took care of business against Boston in really rousing fashion, and it was that Victor Hedman goal, I think, that galvanized the team. Steven Stamkos breakaway goes to the backhand. Tuukka Rask forces him wide, but Hedman gets to the spot before any Boston Bruin does, and a quick, nifty backhand forehand move or forehand backhand move to stuff it into the wide-open net. Tuukka Rask has to skate away. He is so furious with the back checkers from the Boston Bruins that he couldn't even look at him. And now you know that it's a game once again at 4-3. Tampa Bay gets the job done, ties it up, and gets the winner in regulation. As for the defense, Anton Stralman is, of course, much more important to this equation than Dan Girardi. And Anton Stralman is set to draw back into the lineup sooner rather than later. Would not be a shock if he plays tomorrow against Washington. But as I've said before, if there's any doubt whatsoever about his health and rest can benefit him, don't play him this week. Yes, he has to play at least two or three games before we get into the playoffs, so his legs are fresh and he's up to game speed. But that doesn't mean you have to play him against Washington tomorrow night in what's going to be a high-paced, very physical game. If there's any danger of a re-injury that could be mitigated by another 3 or 4 days off, go for it. Give number six the rest. But by all accounts, he's going to be all right to be in our top six, our top four, really, with Victor Hedman. Sergachev, he comes and goes, man. One of the goals we gave up was because of him the other night against Boston. David Backes did not fall for the move that so many others in the NHL have fallen for when 98 in the open ice seems to make a lot of players look silly. David Backes did not look silly, and Boston scores a quick goal. That's just another example of a kid who's growing into his own. I'm not mad at the development of Sergachev. I think he's coming along just fine. You may be asking too much of him, though, to play closer to 20 minutes tonight with Victor Hedman. You get Stralman back, pair him with 77, and let Coburn and Sergachev play together. Jan Ruda is doing everything he can. He's doing nothing really terribly wrong. He's just not a top six defenseman. He's not in Andre Schuster territory where I dread every time he's on the ice. But you're aware when 44 is out there and you're saying, all right, let's get through this. Let's get it in deep, guys, and make a change. You just hope that Dan Girardi is available at some point in the first round. If we get to the second round, obviously, hopefully he's available then, because if you run into an issue, you'd much rather number five comes into the lineup for you than number 44. So here's hoping Dan Girardi gets better soon, and Anton Stralman would appear to be getting better at the right time for us. The power play didn't look great on Monday night, but that's all right. You're going to have some tough efforts here and there. We have a reluctance at times to just dump the puck in and go chase it. That does make me furious in the moment. But then a day after the game, I go, all right, well, I know what they're trying to do. And if we carry the puck in the zone and establish control, we are all-time great at that particular phase of the game. But sometimes it's just worth it, guys, to swallow your pride, go dump the puck in there, go chase it and win a board battle. That's how the playoffs are going to be. There's a lot more dumping and chasing than carrying the puck in the playoffs because checking is so much tighter in the neutral zone and the defense stands up more at their own blue line that they want to cut you off. They want the game to be played and it's not a linear game. They want all of these little battles that you have to win to take place at your own blue line, at their blue line, behind the net, along the boards. It's just a very fragmented game in the postseason. So hopefully in this next week we do a little bit better job of dumping, chasing, and winning some pucks along the boards. That's where the third line, I think, is going to be great for us, though. Cirelli, of course, gets the winning marker, and we play the Boltfather tune, and that's all well and good. But Cirelli and either Yanni Gourde or Matthew Joseph, who's playing with them right now, and Alex Killorn, that's a lineup. That's a three-man line made for the playoffs. Because it is about grinding it out, forechecking. Every 30 to 40 seconds that you can spend in the offensive zone, even if it doesn't generate two or three offensive chances in front of the net, what does it do? It creates momentum for you. It tilts the ice. It tires defensemen. And typically, if you're a third line, you're drawing against one of the top two lines on the other team because you're considered a checking line. So as long as they continue to do that, any offense they produce is gravy. But there's just this feeling that I've had ever since I realized that his NHL debut in Dallas was not a fluke, that Anthony Cirelli is really kind of made for the type of hockey you see in the playoffs. Because there's nothing glamorous about his game. He's a guy who gets deflections. He's a guy who gets his stick in passing lanes and deflects it and creates turnovers. He's a player who has better hockey sense and IQ for playmaking than you might think when you first see him take the ice. He's just one of those in the dirty areas type of players, and it fits perfectly with what Alex Killorn is. I know that Killorn has more of a scoring touch historically in the playoffs, but Alex Killorn goes to the dirty areas and he gets off a shot that you think's got no chance, but maybe it double deflects. Maybe it shocks the goalie because they're not used to a shot being taken from a certain place. But these guys are unheralded players who are made for the postseason. So I'm excited to see how that third line continues to develop and what the top three is going to be. Or I should say, what that three-man group is going to be when Yanni Gourde comes back. Does he draw on that line, or is it going to be 71, 17, and 7? The third line can be the difference maker in a seven-game series when you have two evenly matched teams. And this is something I'm going to hit on next week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast as we get ready for the postseason. But I'll leave you with this week and tease it. That even though there is a gulf between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Boston Bruins or the Calgary Flames or anybody else you want to name in the NHL standings, Washington, I don't believe that the regular season standings gap is indicative of how much better we are than those teams come playoff time. You truly do hit a reset button in the playoffs, and we're going to hit on that for sure next week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. As it stands for this week, guys, really enjoy tomorrow night. Tampa Bay, Washington, I believe to be, it's going to be the final have it out game of this regular season. So bask in it and then reset for a week. Get ready for the 2-month run, hopefully that we're on. But get ready for that postseason run. If you've got some house cleaning to do, spring cleaning, chores, you want to do something with the back deck, you want to stain something on the back deck, whatever it is, get your projects out of the way next week because we are on lockdown mode starting in about 10 days from now. Thanks for tuning into the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you all year long by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks for putting up with the pollen, me. I hope to God Tallahassee gets 2 or 3 days of rain. Please, I like to golf as much as the next guy, but I like breathing more. We'll talk to you next week.